8:45 a.m. on Dakota Sports KOKK.
There's a little cafe on the corner of town. Lucy works there till the sun goes down. It ain't very much, but she brings home the bacon and the bread. We got a mortgage we pay just a little bit on, but it seems like all of the money is gone before we get a chance to get ahead. But that small stuff, we don't sweat the small stuff. About the mortgage and the minimum wage, traffic and the taxes and the coming of age, small stuff. There's a comfort in the knowing there's a spirit in us, giving us the courage and the wisdom to trust in a love that's so much greater than all of this small stuff. So we don't sweat.
Possible at times, today, otherwise overcast skies. Daytime highs approaching 9 above. North winds 10 to 20 miles per hour. Chance of snow and foggy tonight, lows level off around 4 below. A mix of clouds and sun, tomorrow, highs level off around 10 above. A dusting of snow tonight. From the South Dakota State Lottery Weatherology Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Vujcicki on KOKK. Currently, 3 above.
KOKK!
Fresh pack.
patch of beans. Where I can run my bird dogs, cut the grass with my shirt off, swimming in old pair of jeans. Baby, I wanna live in a country house, in a country house with you. I want a stove full of wood and coal on a hill with a heavenly view. Where the days are longer and our love gets stronger and the grass is a little bit blue. Cutting wood for the winter, love it out in the middle of the country, in a country. My shirt off, swimming in old pair of jeans. Baby, I wanna live in a country house, in a country house with you. I want a stove full of wood and coal on a hill with a heavenly view. Where the days are longer and our love gets stronger and the grass is a little bit blue. Cutting wood for the winter, love it out in the middle of the country, in a country.
Always here to inform you, Dakota Country, KOKK in Huron. With the Saturday morning scoreboard, I'm Jeff Duffy on Dakota Sports, KOKK. A very busy Friday, even a couple of state events getting underway yesterday. We'll start off, though, with basketball. Huron Tiger boys at home, hosting Aberdeen at the arena. Tigers took the lead by midway through the first quarter, built it up to a 19-20, 21 points, ended up defeating Aberdeen 56-38 last night. Blake Elwine, 28 points, 9 rebounds. Davis Chase, 13 points. Anderson Porridge with 11. Tigers improved their record to 12-5. Huron girls and boys are both off for a week now. They'll next get on the court next Friday, home and away with Watertown. Iroquois Lake Preston boys defeated Arlington 74-59 for the Sharks. Carter Arbiter, 23 points. Lucas Pesky, 15. Dante Glanzer, 12. Sanborn Central Woonsocket boys defeated Highmore Herald 53-45. Landon Jensen, 13. Bryce Larson, 11. For the Blackhawks, Ipswich defeated Sunshine Bible 69-49. Area girls scores last night, Sanborn Central Woonsocket defeated Highmore Herald 60-38. Sanborn Central Woonsocket, Addie Bartholow 16 points, Liz Beauchet 15, Kaylee Robinson 10 points, 10 rebounds. Highmore Herald, Jada Balloon with 10 points. DeSmit rolled to a 91-60 win over Oldham Ramona Rutland. For DeSmit, Hazel Uthmers, 43 points. Brooke Jennings, 17. Mira Beck added 13. Ipswich defeated Sunshine Bible, 68-21. Double A scores, a lot of scores from last night. Boys, Lincoln, number two, defeated number one, Brandon Valley, 69-48. Jefferson, 57. Brookings, 43. O'Gorman topped Washington, a pair of top five teams, 72-67. Roosevelt, 72. Watertown, 50. Sioux City East defeated T Area, 66-62. Rapid City Central upset number four Harrisburg, 62-58 overtime. Yankton hit a buzzer-beating shot to win on the road over Rapid City Stevens, 47-44. Double A girls last night, Jefferson 66, Brookings 45, Stevens 68, Yankton 42, Harrisburg 51, Rapid City Central 28, O'Gorman number one defeated number two Washington 87-60, Watertown edged Roosevelt 32-30, and Sioux City East defeated T Area 62-50. Class B state dual wrestling tournament held yesterday in Pierre. Canton was the champion. In the opening round, Canton defeated Parkston 50-27. Number four, Bonham Avon defeated number five, Stanley County, 56-17. Two-seed Philip Kadoka Wall defeated number seven, Clark Willow Lake, 45-24. Six-seed winner defeated number three, Kingsbury County, 44-19. In the second round, consolation matches, Parkston defeated Stanley County, Kingsbury County defeated Clark Willow Lake. Semifinals, top seed Canton defeated number four, Bonham Avon, 52-18, and sixth seed winner defeated number two, Philip Kadoka Wall, 43-27. Then in the final round, champion Canton defeated winner, 50-16. Third went to Philip Kadoka Wall, defeated Bonham Avon 39-33. And fifth, Parkston defeated Kingsbury County 45-29. State gymnastics began yesterday in Watertown with the team competition. In AA, Harrisburg wins their first ever state gymnastics title as they scored 152.983 ahead of number two Mitchell, 148.633. In Class A, Esteline Hendricks picked up their third championship in a row, 145.933. Parkston, Ethan, Hanson, Mount Vernon, runner-up at 138.833. Finally, have a handful of college basketball scores from last night, all from the Northern Sun. Women's scores, Concordia St. Paul 75, Northern State 69. Bemidji defeated Augustana 70-64. Men's scores last night, Concordia St. Paul 87, Northern 66, Augustana edged Bemidji 67-64, Sioux Falls 71, Crookston 64, and that's the rundown of our scoreboard from last night. Busy schedule out there today, the second day of the state dual wrestling tournament out in Pierre. The Class A duels are today. First round matchups, top seed Sturgis matches up with number eight Madison, number four West Central, number five Rapid City Stevens, two seed Aberdeen, number seven Harrisburg, and number three Watertown, and number six Brandon Valley. They will crown a champion today. Also on the schedule for today, state gymnastics will wrap up with individual and all-around competition, both Class A and AA in Watertown. Girls basketball in the area today, Warner Classic includes Woolsey Wessington and Wilmot and Roncalli and Highmore Herald. Boys basketball today, Sioux Falls Lutheran is at Sunshine Bible. Dakota Wesleyan Classic, Wessington Springs plays Hanson. Basketball doubleheader today, Todd County is at Miller. And that's a look at the local schedule. Just a few other notes to pass along. A reminder, first off, the Huron girls basketball, Tiny Tigers basketball camp will hold their second session today at the middle school gym and auxiliary gym, 9:30 till 10:30, open for girls and boys, second and third, fourth and fifth grade. And understand the first session 2 weeks ago attracted about 60 kids. Hope for good numbers there again today. It is a fundraiser for our girls basketball team. More information, contact head coach Cody Kaufman with the Huron Tigers. We'll talk to Cody about the second session of the camp coming up here later this morning. South Dakota Football Coaches Association announced the All-Star teams for their annual All-Star game to be held at SDSU in June. A pair of area players were selected to be on the blue team, Colby Hofer of Huron, Moshe Richmond of Woolsey Wessington. Dakota Sports Saturday this morning, we'll talk Huron Tiger basketball with head coaches Cody Kaufman and Tim Budenhagen. And a special guest today, the new head football coach at the University of South Dakota, Travis Johansson, will join us, talk about his journey and his expectations as he becomes the head coach for the first time of the Coyotes. Dakota Sports Saturday coming up at about 8 minutes after 8 o'clock this morning. With the Saturday morning scoreboard, I'm Jeff Duffy on Dakota Sports KOKK.
Just imagine the body weight you always wanted, better health, being stronger, having more energy, an overall feeling of well-being. The first step is the Nordby Center for Recreation. Tour the facility, pick up a schedule of activities, and find out information on the membership that best fits your needs. Wellness, health, weight control, strength, and boosted metabolism. They can all be achieved at the Nordby Center. Join one of Huron's best-kept secrets, the Nordby Center for Recreation in Huron.
With nearly 130 stores in 12 states, Slumberland has the buying power to bring you the best values from the nation's top furniture brands. Slumberland is America's number one dealer for Lazy Boy furniture. Slumberland is also the Midwest's largest retailer for Sealy, Simmons, Stearns & Foster, and Tempur-Pedic mattresses. Slumberland of Huron is completely locally owned and operated. Our staff, including sales and delivery, is made up entirely of your neighbors in Huron. So for the best brands at the best prices, along with truly local service, turn to Slumberland Furniture of Huron.
You're tuned to Dakota Sports on KOKK.
Good morning. 8 minutes after 8 o'clock, we continue on Dakota Sports Saturday. Cody Kaufman, head girls basketball coach for the Huron Tigers. Kyron as well. So we got a double Kaufman thing going here this morning. Tiger girls 0-2 this week. Tuesday, a loss at home to Pierre. Friday, or Thursday, a loss on the road to Aberdeen. And two losses, Cody, but yet still a kind of two different tales there. Tuesday, I think we were talking before the game Thursday against Aberdeen, just one of the clunkers. We did not come out well against Pierre. Pierre Pounce got up 15-1, and while you try to rally, as the old saying goes, you expend so much energy trying to get back into it, at some point there's going to be a peak.
Yeah, I thought on Tuesday, coming into the game, I thought we matched up really well with Pierre. I thought they don't have a lot of size. They're guard-oriented like we are. They have one, lead guard in Lennox Dupree, like we do with Hilton. I thought that, the first 4 minutes, I think it was 6-1. We made the one free throw, but we missed five layups, inside the lane. Make a couple of those, it's a different thing. I thought the first 4 minutes, our defense held us in, 6-1. After that, though, I thought that, we got away from discipline. We started helping too much on the backside. We let the Larson girl get loose a couple times, who's a very good shooter. And, she made shots, and then everybody else started making shots. And ultimately, at the end of the first quarter, when you're down 15-1, that's just a tough, that's a hole that's tough to climb out of. We did a few good things there later on, to cut the lead a little bit. But, in the second quarter, I think we had got outscored 22-16. Well, if you want to come back, it's going to be tough to do when you give up 22 points in a quarter.
You did have a good run. I think Matt said in the third quarter he got it down to 9 at one point, and all of a sudden they went on about another 8-0 run to kind of put it away. But again, you just expend that energy. You don't want to dig the hole because then you have to get out of it.
Yeah, and they did. We made some shots, got some stops early in the third quarter, but then you could just kind of see that, it took all the energy out of us and we couldn't finish at the end of, at the end of the third quarter and then the fourth quarter. Again, Pierre made shots, shot the ball really well, I thought. From girls, again, that when you put on the game plan that you don't really necessarily watch and expect them to shoot the ball as well as they did. So, I think we talked about it. I think that was, one of two in 17 games now that we just didn't show up and play. So, things didn't go right, from the start, and it escalated fast on us, and we, you know, like I said, we rebounded well off of the last one, and I thought our effort and energy, you know, come Thursday was a lot better from Tuesday.
Well, going back to Tuesday, a one bright spot was Chloe Carr, 10 points, 9 rebounds, just about got a double-double out of that.
Yeah, you know, I think it was the Spearfish game. I think Chloe didn't play very well, in my opinion, and, you know, I kind of challenged her, and I think ever since then, I mean, even Sturgis, you know, and then Pierre, and then, you know, Thursday night against Aberdeen. I think Chloe's been playing really well, rebounding the heck out of the ball, you know, being more aggressive offensively. Just a lot of things that, you know, there's a lot of potential out of Chloe, you know, and I think she's played really well, especially rebounding the ball as of late because, you know, I guess outside of Pierre, but, I mean, we're going against teams that are a lot bigger than us.
And she is our big.
Outside of Chloe, you know, she is our big, exactly, but you know, she's done a great job of, you know, banging in the middle with, you know, with a lot of other, you know, big experienced posts in the inside. So, yeah, she's done a great job here as of late.
You know, and then you go to Thursday, I said Aberdeen again trailed most of the way and we're doing in catch-up mode. But really a lot of better things we saw on Thursday in Aberdeen. Really the one bad thing overall was simply we just didn't shoot the ball well and we had open looks, especially from the three. But we cut down the turnovers. We forced them into some turnovers. You know, we were worried about their 2 6-footers. And midway through the fourth quarter, I think they were 12 points combined. You know, so defensively a lot of good things. And if we could just knock down a few more shots.
Yeah, you know, I mean, and that's the thing, and you get, you know, I think after the Pierre game, I got after him a little bit about executing, you know, the game plan and what's on the, you know, and what's on our scouting reports, you know, that we put a lot of time into, you know, putting out, you know, to give the girls more information, and I think they did a great job of that on Thursday night. You know, I mean, the goal was to take away the paint, you know, and we did a great job of that. Like you said, I think they ended with a combined 15 points, if I remember right. And you said, you know, midway through the fourth, they had 12 or whatever it was.
They each had six.
You know, I mean, so we did a great job of that. Now, credit to Aberdeen, you know, they had girls, you know, number 10 wasn't even a starter. You know, she didn't even start, you know, against Mitchell on Tuesday.
Yeah, she started because of an injury.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, and she makes 4 threes. Well, there's the difference right there, you know. So, We handled our game plan to perfection, and honestly, offensively as well. You know, we knew with their size that we had to get shots up. We knew that we had to take more threes. We've been averaging the last 4 games about 9 threes a game, and I knew that that wasn't going to be enough. You know, so I mean, we were, you know, we got 19 threes up on Thursday night. 5 of 19, you know, yeah, you'd like to see 8 of 19 or 9 of 19.
And there were open looks.
There were some good looks. Yeah. And, you know, when we made our runs, you know, when we made that run in the third quarter to, you know, we made, what, 2 3-3s in a row there, you know, between Jency and Addie Knight. And so, you know, there's a lot of things that we did executed well. You're right. I mean, when, you know, you're 13 of 51 from the field, and I think we only had, what, 3 free throws?
Yeah. There wasn't a lot of free throws overall, and I think we only had three free throws.
You know, so we, you know, we rely on free throws quite a bit, but you know, we also got to be able to make some shots too. And I know that, you know, in the paint was going to be tough, so that's why we needed to get up more threes. So, execution wise, effort wise, you know, like I told you before we got on air, we had 11 offensive rebounds with their size. That's what that you show that they're working hard. You know, not giving up on the plays, you know, type of thing. So, that was good to see. You know, we got a few days off here, and then we can turn around, and we got a huge game next Friday against Watertown.
Yeah, one game week next week, home and away Friday for the girls and boys with Watertown. You get the home game. We'll be interested to see what the scoreboard system looks like by then. But that's a key game for both teams. Watertown picked up a 2-point win against Roosevelt last night, and I said, well, does that help or hurt us? You know, we moved up to 13 without playing yesterday, and said, hard to say. Watertown's behind us, but on the other hand, Roosevelt's right ahead of us, as is Jefferson. So we could land anywhere, as high as 11, maybe drop even down to 15 or 16 in the next 2 weeks.
Yeah, I mean, there's still going to be a ton of change from, you know, from 11 to 16. I mean, even probably up close, you know, mix in some other ones. So, we got to figure out how to get back in the win column, you know, take care of our own business, and then whatever happens after there. But We know we got a big game on Friday against Watertown, and it's at the arena, so we got to show up and be ready to play.
Played Watertown once. They're physical, and that 32-30 probably wasn't an accident. They like the lower scoring games.
Yeah, we know that. I mean, they're, you know, Coach Rohde has them, you know, built on defense, physicality, you know, pressuring in their zone, you know, pressuring the ball high. But I thought, you know, on the first time we played them, we did a great job of taking care of or handling it. You know, when we let them, you know, I think we were up 13, got to a one-point game. That time, you know, the physicality and their pressure got to us a little bit, and then we flipped a switch and took it back from them, you know, the aggressiveness. So, you know, hopefully we can stay aggressive for a whole 32 minutes, and, you know, then I like our chances of walking away with a win.
You know, in a week and a day off, I think this is good for everybody, and then three tough games into the season, and you know, hard to believe. 2 weeks from today, we're done with the regular season and really looking at the power points.
Yeah, you know, it's crazy how fast it's gone. You know,
just a couple days ago, we were in Yankton to open it up.
Yeah, exactly. So 17 games in, we'll be ready for the last 2 weeks here, the stretch run, and, you know, see where we end up.
Okay, one last thing here before I let you go. I know Kyer's kind of chomping at it here, but day two of the 3 days of Tiny Tigers basketball camps, second and third, fourth and fifth graders invited to come down to the middle school gym, and you had a very good turnout 2 weeks ago for the first session.
Yeah, you know, it was fun, you know, to get in front of them. The girls, or, you know, my girls players surely enjoyed coaching and stuff, and then you know, just seeing all the kids and being able to interact, and, you know, it's good for the community, it's good for our program. So, second session this morning. We look forward to seeing everybody again.
Again, that's girls and boys, second and third, fourth and fifth grade, 9:30 till 10:30 at the middle school gym. We'll be back, talk here on Tiger Boys next on Dakota Sports.
Just imagine the body weight you always wanted, better health, being stronger, having more energy, and overall feeling of well-being. The first step is the Nordby Center for Recreation. Tour the facility, pick up a schedule of activities, and find out information on the membership that best fits your needs. Wellness, health, weight control, strength, and boosted metabolism. They can all be achieved at the Nordby Center. Join one of Huron's best kept secrets, the Nordby Center for Recreation in Huron.
With nearly 130 stores in 12 states, Slumberland has the buying power to bring you the best values from the nation's top furniture brands. Slumberland is America's number one dealer for Lazy Boy furniture. Slumberland is also the Midwest's largest retailer for Sealy, Simmons, Stearns & Foster, and Tempur-Pedic mattresses. Slumberland of Huron is completely locally owned and operated. Our staff, including sales and delivery, is made up entirely of your neighbors in Huron. So for the best brands at the best prices, along with truly local service, turn to Slumberland Furniture of Huron.
You're tuned to Dakota Sports on KOKK.
19 minutes after 8 o'clock, we're back on Dakota Sports Saturday. Tim Budnagan, head coach here on Tiger Boys, joins us now. Tigers, a much-needed win in a couple of different ways as they rolled to a 56-38 win over Aberdeen last night, took the lead midway through the first quarter, never really looked back, improving their record to 12-5 in the season. And, Coach, as I said, much-needed a couple of ways just from a seeding standpoint. Those are games we needed to get, we got, and really for about one of the few times this season, a game where we win and actually able to empty the bench as well.
Oh, absolutely. You know, we've been in that position before. We're up 15-16 in the third, and then all of a sudden we let a team back into it. Last night I thought we did a really nice job defensively. I thought we did a nice job of moving the basketball. We still stand around a little bit too much after watching it this morning. We got to get better at that. There's more things we need to get better at, but we came out, we established ourselves, who we are. We punched the ball inside, we hit timely shots, and we played great defense and limited them one shot most of the possessions.
You know, and that's the thing, anytime you hold any double-A school, I don't care who it is, the 38 points, your defense is doing some work.
Yeah, it is, and we communicated a lot better than what we have been. We could continue to progress. We kind of lose guys at times, lose vision, but we got to fix some body position on defense. But our defense is going to carry us because that ignites our transition offense, and when we get out and run, we're really good.
You know, and going back to Tuesday Pier, it was kind of the same old, 15-point lead in the third quarter. They got it down to one possession in the fourth quarter at home. They had the crowd going. Thankfully, the kids held their ground and basically, you know, again, came out with the 10-point win.
Yeah, it's a we got a resilient bunch. They really don't get nervous, and they don't get on each other. They just play. We just continue to play and then let the chips fall where they may. I thought against Peer we did a really good job on Getz. We did a really good job on Olson. But then Diligis hit us for 20-some points. But
and probably shot 75% from the field,
exactly,
too.
But he hangs around the basket, and then once he gets a couple easy ones to go in, then he throws in a turnaround jump shot, a 15-footer. He kind of got hot. But, again, we kept the leading scores off balance. We got to continue to do that. We gave them too many second chance points. They got 14 offensive rebounds, 11 second chance points, and then they got 12 points off for turnovers. Take care of the ball, rebound, you can win most of the games.
You know, and some similarities between the two games, although last night was really kind of moving the needle to the right. Basically, our three bigs scored all but three of the points last night. On Tuesday night, I think Davis Chase and Blake Elwine combined for a majority of the points. But, you know, last night, 55 out of, 53 out of 56 came from those three guys, but yet is just because it was there. Trace Wins, I think, shot once or twice. Colton McNeil didn't shoot the ball at all because, well, they didn't need to keep the ball moving, find the high percentage shot, and that's what we did.
Well, when we have the three bigs in, we create a mismatch somewhere. Teams just really can't match up with that lineup, so we got to keep pounding the ball inside. And then when it goes inside and they start double-teaming, then you're going to be open. So then now you got to be ready to shoot it. So we got to continue. Like I said, we got to continue to punch the ball inside. That's our identity. Or defensively, get the other team to take a long shot, ball comes off long, or get a steal, and then we're in the running game. Those are the two things that we're really good at.
You know, and you mentioned the three bigs. All three of them are capable of playing on the outside. I mean, Blake Elwine has point guard skills, but on the other hand, you might see Colt McNeil posting up. You might see Bubba Peterson posting up. Trace Wins, he's sneaky with his length. You know, any of the five guys out there can be in any one of the five spots.
Absolutely, and that's the beauty of the offense, that we continue to progress, that anybody can go down there. We can back screen a big in. So what that means is if a guard goes down to the paint, they're going to try to back screen Blake or Andy or Davis in. And then when Davis and Blake and Andy are down there, they're going to try to find a guard to back screen in. So we can try to get something going to the basket at all times.
You know, and just overall, as I said, we sit at 12-5, but actually down to number 8 in the seating right now. There's still 2 weeks to go with a lot of games left to be played and a lot of top teams. But, you know, as far as that top five goes, there was a lot of head-to-head meetings here this past week. I think Lincoln kind of established themselves again as they went and punched Brandon Valley in the mouth last night. Harrisburg upset out west last night. So, you know, we're at 8 now. We were at 5 for a long time. You know, our wacky point system that we'll have to use. You made a comment last night, O'Gorman beats Washington, and at the end of the night, Washington jumped O'Gorman.
Yeah, they can't explain it. The only good part about it is we control our own destiny. If we can beat Watertown and then we O'Gorman, Brandon the next week, then
everything takes care of itself.
Absolutely. So the nice part about it is we don't have to worry about who beats who or who's playing who. We just got to take care of the Huron Tigers. If we can do that, then we'll jump up in the rankings. If not, we'll play anybody anywhere for that one spot in that state tournament.
So a week off here. I think everybody's welcome to that. Now, the girls did have a week off there back at the end of January, beginning of February. But the boys, you know, it's been a grind here since New Year's. I think everybody's happy to have. I mean, everybody's got the weekend off and then just get back to work Monday.
Absolutely. Yeah, we're giving them – they're going to have off Saturday, Sunday. We're not going to practice again until 4 o'clock on Monday. We'll probably go 90 minutes on Monday and then really start hammering away on Tuesday, Wednesday. This week we got to try to improve our skills offensively, defensively, out of bounds plays. We got a lot of stuff that we got to clean up, but it's a great week just to try to you know, clean those things up and then get ready for a good Watertown team.
Yeah, Watertown, we beat them a couple of weeks ago, but now we go there, and you and I have been to Watertown long enough to know that that and Pierre might be the two hardest places to play in the ESD. They'll be ready for it. And not only seeding on the line, you sometimes forget in this day and age where we no longer have the double round robin in ESD, you kind of forget, you know, there's an ESD title on the line. We are still in the thick of that, but we need to win over Watertown next week.
Yeah, we desperately need to. If we can get that one, that, again, that sets up a matchup with Brandon Valley. Depending on what they do, that should be for the conference title, because we've beaten Harrisburg, we've beaten Mitchell, we lost the T. But right now, Brandon Valley's undefeated. So if we could beat Watertown, beat Brandon, we should be in that conference championship mix.
So right now, again, sitting at 12-5, we've already equaled last year's win total for the regular season, but still a lot of work to do. And as I just said to Cody, hard to believe 2 weeks from today we're done with the regular season and definitely staring at the Activities Association website.
Yeah, after that Harrisburg game, it's just been a blur because we're getting ready for two games in a week, sometimes three games in a week. You just don't have time to take a breath. Now this weekend we got time to take a breath and reflect on, you know, what we need to improve on. The season's been, you know, really the season's been really good. We've been competitive in every game. You know, we've blown some games. We've won some, but all in all, the guys have been, they've been doing a great job. And again, we got to be playing our best basketball, and I think we will the next three games.
Tim Budnick, head coach of the Tigers. Again, both Tiger basketball teams off till next Friday, home and away with Watertown. Girls at home at the arena. That'll be here on KOKK. Boys on the road. That'll be over on Tiger. Both games 6:40, pregame 7 o'clock with the tip-off next Friday. Up next, special guest on the show today, Travis Johansson, who has jumped to the new head football coach at the University of South Dakota, will join us, talk about his journey here as he is now the head coach of a Division I football program. That's next year on Dakota Sports.
Just imagine the body weight you always wanted, better health, being stronger, having more energy, and overall feeling of well-being. The first step is the Nordby Center for Recreation. Tour the facility, pick up a schedule of activities, and find out information on the membership that best fits your needs. Wellness, health, weight control, strength, and boosted metabolism. They can all be achieved at the Nordby Center. Join one of Huron's best-kept secrets, the Nordby Center for Recreation in Huron.
With nearly 130 stores in 12 states, Slumberland has the buying power to bring you the best values from the nation's top furniture brands. Slumberland is America's number one dealer for Lazy Boy furniture. Slumberland is also the Midwest's largest retailer for Sealy, Simmons, Stearns & Foster, and Tempur-Pedic mattresses. Slumberland of Huron is completely locally owned and operated. Our staff, including sales and delivery, is made up entirely of your neighbors in Huron. So for the best brands at the best prices, along with truly local service, turn to Slumberland Furniture of Huron.
Your headquarters for sports is Dakota Sports on KOKK.
We're back here on Dakota Sports Saturday. Special guest on the show today, Travis Johansson, who just took over as head football coach at the University of South Dakota, joins us here, named head coach to replace Bob Nielsen, who retired from the position, took the job about a month ago. And Travis, I guess first things first, been kind of a whirlwind since then, because while you move to the new position there on the staff, the world of college football doesn't slow down at all.
No, it definitely doesn't. It's been fantastic. You know, the first, I don't even know how long it's been at this point. But, you know, the initial start of our process has been awesome. We got a great staff here. And, you know, as the players are back working, it's, you know, a lot of decisions to make and things that we're, you know, trying to improve in the program. So, yeah, first things first, it's been an honor to do. But now the work begins.
You know, and let's talk about Coach Nielsen for a second here. I'm not sure how long you've been affiliated with him, although I know you've been his defensive coordinator for several years up to the end of this past season. And were you taken by surprise at all when Coach Nielsen just decided, well, maybe it's time to step back?
Yeah, to a certain extent. I don't know if I anticipated it happening that quickly. I do know coaches, been thinking about it, particularly when, you know, now all of his family is here in the region and the time you get to spend with them, You know, I know it was enticing to him. But, yeah, it was certainly sooner than maybe I had anticipated. But I wouldn't say it shocked me or caught me by surprise, but maybe the timing did.
Well, just talk about your football journey as a whole. I believe Blaine, Minnesota, one of the northern suburbs of Twin Cities. That's where you played your high school ball. Then Concordia St. Paul, a Division II program. You went there. Just talk about your first steps there in the world of football.
Yeah, I think, you know, growing up in Blaine was an awesome. It was an awesome football community. You know, I played for one of the legendary football coaches in the state, and Dave Nelson, and that staff of people with Shannon Garrity and Doug Harris and a bunch of those guys that all stuck together. I think, you know, as we grew up learning what it meant to be a, you know, fundamental, tough, competitive football player in person, sacrificed a bunch of things. You know, I think that really, you know, kind of set a foundation for how much I love the game of football. You know, from that point, I played at Concordia University in St. Paul, a team and a program that at the time was trying to figure out how to win football games, and I really learned how much, you know, being great teammates and loving football could turn into results. You know, we won two conference championships at that university, and, you know, those guys are friends of mine to this day, and that staff, you know, our confidants to this day as well. So I really, really, you know, I learned a lot during my time there, and I transitioned to coaching immediately when I was done playing, got a heck of an opportunity to get on as a full-time position coach, you know, 1 year out of playing, which was pretty unique. And it certainly wasn't because I was a good football coach. It was really just probably because I was the only one available to take the job. So it was really my coaching, you know, career kind of started there. And then I transitioned out of there to Granby University in Des Moines, Iowa, where I worked for Mike Woodley, who's a mentor to this day, a legend in that state. I had the opportunity to learn from him, a guy that had been doing it a really long time, a Hall of Famer in the state. And then obviously the opportunity to come here, you know, 6 years into my time at Grandview, and to work for then Bob Nielsen. So, you know, I think every step, every level that I've been, high school, Division II, NAIA, here in the FCS, I've been able to be around, you know, kind of legendary coaches who've done it all the right way. And I owe a lot to all of those people to have the opportunity to do now.
Well, when Coach Nielsen brought you to Vermilion, did you really have any connection to Coach Nielsen before that?
Yeah, we competed against each other when he was at Minnesota Duluth. We didn't have a personal relationship like that, but I think, you know, our time at Concordia defending his teams at Minnesota Duluth, and, you know, I think, and then obviously I was familiar with him. They won the two titles in 8 and 10. You know, that was, we had familiarity, but not a relationship like that. Our connection, you know, became a little bit more professional and direct through some conversations with him and Coach Mike Woodley at Grandview.
Then you come to Vermilion, and, well, just a program that was kind of on the rise, had a one or two lean years in there as well, but really, you know, Nielsen had a plan. It looks like it, you know, obviously it's paid fruit here the last 2 years, especially with a couple of playoff appearances, including the semifinals this past season. So I guess from your standpoint, in taking over as head coach, foundation is there.
Yeah, no question about it. You know, this, you know, our journey really started in 2019 when, you know, we started to really make steps towards getting the right things in the program to do it the right way. You know, I think, you know, our 19 season was my first and, you know, found a way to beat South Dakota State in that year, which was a formative win for us. Particularly it was the first one in the Division I era and one we needed to get over then. And then, you know, 20 was just a complete wash of a season, really, with COVID, and, you know, we only ended up playing four games, so didn't have really a chance to build off it the way we wanted to. Defensively, we improved, and it was a great four-game, you know, stretch for us on defense, but as a team, we probably didn't see the results, and then that led into really our 21 season, where we finally got over the hump. You know, we were back in the playoffs. We hosted our first home playoff game in 35 years. And I know we all look at the 22 season as a, you know, as certainly a from a wins and losses standpoint was definitely not in alignment with the football team we had, but you know, it really forced us to do some things as a program to make sure we got this thing where, you know, where it needed to be, and when we accomplished that and the lessons we learned out of that 22 season really just extended the success we had been building towards in 21. So, you know, I think we you know, internally, and obviously we know what 23 and 24 have been, you know, as far as, you know, nationally what it looks like, but I think we've all felt since, you know, kind of after COVID, we were on a platform where we could win on a national scale. You know, with the step back in 22, it didn't quite feel like that, but we felt like for the last four seasons consecutively, we've had football teams and processes in place, and the program is set up to go compete for a national title. We just maybe didn't execute it as well as we needed to from a staff perspective, but certainly are now.
Well, you talked staff, so let's just go right there right now. Again, we're talking with Travis Johansson, head football coach, just taking over the reins from Bob Nielsen at the University of South Dakota. Staff, obviously, you go from defensive coordinator to head coach. And first, from that standpoint, there's a lot of different responsibilities when you're a head coach as opposed to being, you know, just working with the defense.
Yeah, no doubt. It's a different job. It's a different role in the building. One I'm certainly excited about. I'm certainly going to continue to have a big role on defense and help and guide that unit to be one of the best, if not the best, in the country still. You know, but yeah, it's a different job, right? We, you know, there's a lot more to do holistically in the program, and logistics and making sure everybody's supported in the way where they can do their jobs great. We have an excellent staff, and you know, it's my responsibility to support them at the very highest level and point the vision towards their efforts. But more than anything, you know, I've got to be able to serve them in a way that lets them coach and develop and create relationships on the very highest level. And so it's different, but you know, it's kind of a breath of fresh air. I know what I would be doing as the defensive coordinator, and every minute of every day, 365 days a year, and you know, there's a little more variables as the head coach. That's for certain.
And talk about, you had to replace both coordinators. We'll start on defense, because the guy you brought in to replace you always talk about relationships. Well, Billy Kirch, you and Billy Kirch go back a long time.
Yeah, we've known each other since about the eighth grade, if not before. So. I've tried to, you know, get Coach Kirch over here a lot, and certainly a personal relationship is great. I think it helps things, but not the reason why I hired him. You know, I hired him because he's the best football coach that I, you know, I certainly know when it comes to, you know, believing in the things we do defensively, believing in our style of play, believing in how to improve our style of play. He's an excellent football coach, national coordinator of the year at the NAIA level, a national champion in his own right, played the game at a high level, is, you know, all around a great human being, checks all the boxes for what the standard would be to coach here at the University of South Dakota, and our players will benefit from improvement, frankly, with the dynamics that we have in place. You know, we will take a step forward defensively in a real way with Coach Kirch.
And then offensive coordinator, you had to replace as well. And as far as that goes, it was a promotion from within.
Yeah, when we lost Coach Davis, who, again, is a guy that I've been a personal relationship with for the last, 20 years plus. When we lost Coach to his opportunity, you know, it was of importance to make sure we kept that staff intact. That was a really good collaborative staff, top to bottom, and Tim Morrison was a driving force behind our success, and keeping him on board was imperative, and putting him in that role was imperative. And then, you know, Coach Vitsum has been an unbelievably creative, you know, person in that room, and so those two is. You know, our offensive coordinator and co-coordinator, kind of in the leadership positions of our offense, was of utmost, you know, importance. And then we've had the best offensive line in the country, in my opinion. And that's a credit to Jeff Nady and the work he's done here with that group. You know, he's a really, really talented young football coach who's taken that group to new heights and will continue to. And so, and then obviously Dante Warren as our running backs coach, who's, again, I think we've got the best running back room in the country, and it's, you know, because of Coach Warren's dedication to those people. And he's a Yote. He played here. He's had some of the biggest wins in the history of the program. He's an alum and a person we're proud to have on our staff and will always be. So to keep the four guys that worked under Coach Davis together to lead our offense will let us take another step forward offensively. We were able to, from 23 to 24, really change the outcomes of what we did offensively, and we need to take another jump from 24 to 25. And with all those guys in place, we feel like we can do it.
And so now shift gears a bit here, because here we are in 2025. The landscape in college athletics, football especially, has changed in the last 4 years, 5 years, going back 10 years. Two terms in particular come to mind, portal and NIL. And obviously you deal with both, I guess, portal first. Kind of makes you feel like you're recruiting all the time, including your own guys in some cases.
Yeah, we've been kind of in that mode. You know, college football is you know, really recruiting and, you know, intense. And, you know, whether it's a freshman, you know, regionally, locally here, or whether it's a transfer portal addition where we're trying to, you know, maybe fix an issue on the roster where maybe injury caused a hole, or, you know, the retention caused a hole. You know, either way you look at it, you're going to be recruiting somebody all the time. And, you know, the portal has just created another avenue to, you know, bring in talent that's maybe a little bit more experienced and game ready when, you know, the players, the really talented players on your roster might be a year away. And that's the way we look at it. You know, without having to, you know, take non-ready transfers that sometimes we would find in the past, we're able to find maybe a more ready player. So, yeah, it creates a little bit more work on the front end, but a little less work on the back end.
You know, and then NIL, that, of course, is always in the conversation as well. And I guess from that standpoint, you just look at your athletic department. USD is being very aggressive in setting up what they can, you know, to make that work for all the teams, not just football.
Yeah, we've got an unbelievable administration in John Schemmel, and our president, Sheila Gestring, are absolutely cutting edge and innovative and open-minded into all the things happening in college football and in athletics in general. You know, their approach to this is, you know, they want to be the best in the country and are willing to do the things necessary to accomplish that in a sustainable way long term. And, you know, for to have support like that and leadership and being led by, you know, people like that has been really the most exciting part for me. You know, when you're aligned with administration on that level and they believe in you and vice versa, you got a chance to do special things. And so, you know, they're committed to doing in you know, in this such a fluid world of figuring out, you know, how to allocate your resources in the best way and how the players can benefit from that long term. You know, it's a situation where we continue to navigate it in new and innovative ways, and I think our players are finding a way to, you know, put themselves in a position where not only are they benefiting it from it in ways financially, but, you know, from a developmental standpoint, investing in things that are going to allow them to, you know, create NFL opportunities for them when they're done playing.
Well, kind of wrap it up with this now. Travis Johansson, new head football coach at the University of South Dakota, joining us here. A lot of excitement around the Kyle program after the runs the last 2 years. Obviously, we want to make that next step. There are holes on the roster to fill. I think one thing you have to feel about good about, with one major exception, guy stayed. The portal did not really affect the Coyote roster a whole lot, like I said, with one major exception.
Yeah, losing Mikeese Grace into the portal, you know, that's kind of the first one we've had to kind of, you know, deal with that way. You know, Mikeese is a special talent. You know, some of the opportunities that, you know, presented themselves, you know, in the ways that they do these days, there's kind of no regulation on any of it. But, you know, he had a chance to set himself up with some seven-figure money. And, you know, in the event that that's the case, sometimes people find that important to them right now as opposed to when they're drafted. And so, you know, he made the decision to do that. But, you know, we've had a large amount of guys in our roster with, you know, things that have, you know, payments in front of them for six figures and things like that. They've opted not to investigate because they know what their opportunity looks like long term here at the University of South Dakota and what that'll mean for their football future professionally. So, yeah, it's you know, that's the nature of the game right now, and you know, it's our goal here to make sure guys understand that, you know, this is an NFL developmental program alongside of winning championships, and that aspiration is going to lead us to working harder and performing at a level that, you know, lets us win national titles along the way, and the pride that you have in the university just makes you a better pro. And you know, the portal and navigating NIL and all that is, again, it's a fluid situation, but one that we feel really confident that we're doing the right way.
Travis Johansson, head coach of the University of South Dakota Coyotes, moving from defensive coordinator to head coach about a month ago, replacing the retiring Bob Nielsen. That'll wrap our Dakota Sports Saturday show for today. Territorial Rodeo Update brought to you by Premier Equipment of Huron is up next. Thanks for listening to Dakota Sports on KOKK.
Time now for the Top 5 Countdown. Here's your host, Monty James.
We are bundled up and headed to the Heart City Bowl Bash in Valentine, Nebraska on Valentine's Day weekend. Pretty clever, eh?
Had it with Valentine's Day. I'm sick of all of it.
Yes, there will be Bulls on Parade. Did you get the 90s alternative tie-in there? Craft and vendor show for the ladies or that odd cousin of yours? And I'll be sequestered with the Lady Wranglers at Young's Western Wear, shining boots for cancer awareness, and trying on all kinds of wacky Western duds from the archives of the 60s. Floors of the Young Store going all the way back to 1928. You can watch my progress and all of our shenanigans on Facebook as we turn Valentine's Day into St. Patrick's Day, plus 15% off all boots on this one-day sale. We will see you in Valentine. Tip of the hat to all the new customers nationwide from DiscountWesternWear.com, a division of Young's Western Wear, Valentine, Nebraska. The Weber Ranch family, owners of Young's, appreciate your business and work hard to provide quality products at an affordable price. Don't let the name fool you. This is top-of-the-line product. Products from Ariat, Justin, Carhartt, Tony Lama, Wrangler, Twisted X, Circle Wide, Cactus Saddlery, plus many, many more, all at super affordable pricing. Hence the name.
Free shipping on orders of over $99 at LegendaryDiscountWesternWear.com.
Hearken now as we present the top five at each event from the world of pro rodeo. Big D, lock it down, and let's get it on.
You betcha.
Hey, Toots, you know why I pulled you over? You were going too sexy in a 35 zone.
In the Bears, Wisconsin's Nick Pelkey doing what the Packers couldn't. Texan Brad Miller and Utah's Mason Clemens, 2-3. Cherry County native son Garrett Shadbold and Texan Cole Franks kicking back 4-5. Come on now. Middledogan, Jesse Brown of Oregon, top dog. Gurr, Oki, Levi Rudd, shotgun. Texans, Don Payne, Justin Schaefer, and Cody Devers run 3, 4, and 5. Team Ropen, Northside, Texan, Tanner Tomlinson, Ups, then Aguilera, Carter, Tryon, and Eggman. Southside, Oki, Travis Graves, Duggan, number one. Get it, then Davis, Profili, Bentley, and Smith in that order. There will be testing later.
Bueller.
Salomon, Crichton, Kate, Bruno, Vadaho is the man. Flying right, Bros, Statler, and Wilbur, Rider 2-4. Dawson Hay, number three, Montation Sage Newman 5 card.
Okay, Valentine's Day it is.
I got a hit champ, Avial, finally with Kyle Lucas, Preston, Mickey, and Giovanni, now trying 1 through 5 respectively.
What the hell was that?
Bumper Barrels, Andrea Busby, Carly Otero of Texas, Turn and Burn 1 and 2. Utah's McKinnon, Coronado, Trey, Texan, Steph Fryer 4th, Megan Sprague of Idaho, rolls 5th. Toro Twistin', Man's Game, brother. Wade Tooney of Arizona, BTOC. Raleigh Johnson of Idaho and Texan Harry, Maverick Potter, 2-3. Oregonian, TJ Gray and T. Parker of Texas, Knife Fight for 4-5. Racket, I'm out. Much love to our sponsors at Sioux Steel Company, Purple Wave Auction, and DiscountWestonWed.com. Hugs to producer Big D Derek Beck and the Air Force at this blowtorch. Monty James for America's Top 5 Countdown. Outski.
I love you.
In these days of consolidation, conglomerations, and giant corporate-owned dealerships, it's nice to see farm and ranch family-owned Premier Equipment expanding. See their impressive New Holland lineup at PremierEQSD.com or visit their hometown locations in Eureka, Battle, Huron, Mobridge, Isabel, and now Sturgis. Bill Linscove started this outfit in 1951, and now four generations later, they are still going strong and getting stronger. Parts counter is open and the coffee is always on at the six Premier Equipment New Holland locations at PremierEQSD.com.
Cloudy skies expected today with daytime highs approaching 9 above. Northerly winds 10 to 20 miles per hour. Overcast skies with fog and spots tonight. Chance for snow. Lows level off around 4 below. High temperatures reach up to 10 above. Tomorrow, sunshine mixed with clouds at times. A dusting of snow tonight. From the South Dakota State Lottery Weatherology Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki on KOKK. Right now, 1 above.
Keeping you country company, Dakota Country, KOKK Huron.
Upmont.
It's time for Calling All Sports. Today's show is brought to you by Arby's, Overhead Door, Great Life Health and Fitness, Showplace Cabinetry, Lewis Drug, Fireplace Pros, Frisbee's Plumbing and Heating, Dakota Bank, Papik Motors, Vance Thompson Vision, Corey Insurance, Furniture Mart USA, Billion Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram, Dakota Beverage, the South Dakota Golf Association, Comfort King, and Corey and the Fireflies.
And welcome to a Thursday edition of Calling All Sports. I'm your host, Mark Ovenden. Good to have you with us. We've got a fun show in store for today as one of my favorite guys of all time, John Stiglmeyer, joins us in the first half. And Curtis Riggs falls into that same category. He'll be with us in the second half. So two good friends to visit with, talking about football, lots to talk about with Stig, just get caught up on how some of his former players are doing in the NFL and just where things are at South Dakota State, because when you spend as many years as the head coach of a program like he has, it's your baby. Even though you retired, you still love it, you still care about it, and so we'll talk with him about that. And then in the second half with Curtis, we'll talk about the Super Bowl from his perspective. It's always good to just talk football with him. And then we'll talk some college football, too. Ed Kalen DeBoer on earlier in the week. And if you missed it, you can always go to our website, which is callingallsportssd.com. You can go to our website and you can download whatever episode you want to listen to. Kalen was on Tuesday on the second half of the show. Eric Henderson was on the first half. He's a great interview, too. This show, I just love the show, just because we get a chance to visit with so many different people and get to know them a whole lot more than you would if you just watched them on the sidelines or watched them on the floor. Tomorrow, Fred Paulson's going to be on the show with us. Fred's coaching career goes way back in South Dakota, and he is back on the bench this year at St. Thomas More, and he said he's having the time of his life. So we want to get caught up with Fred, and ironically, one of the things I wanted to talk to him about was years ago when he was coaching at Huron, when they still had a college, and they were darn good in basketball. Two of the dads on that team that he coached, they weren't dads at the time, but they're dads now of famous NFL players who you would recognize. And so that'll be kind of a fun conversation tomorrow with Fred as well. So it's Stig and it's Curtis, and we're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll have Mr. Stiglmeyer on the air. So stay with us.
At Showplace Cabinetry, you become part of the family, not just another number. Hear from Maria, who knows firsthand.
Working at Showplace has allowed me to become an independent woman. I am able to provide for my family, kids, and adopted brother. I have a mortgage and a vehicle. I live the American dream, and I owe it all to Showplace. My daughter wants to work here. We all care about each other. It is a family environment.
Apply now. Positions starting at $17 to $20 per hour. ShowplaceCareers.com.
For those who don't like to be still. For those with things to do and the drive to get them done. For those in search of a partner to help make it happen, there's a bank. A bank that listens, acts, and impacts all things right here. Dakota Bank. Go with experience. Go with teamwork. Go with integrity. for banking, insurance, mortgage, and trust. Dakota Bank, here for you. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. Insurance and trust services not FDIC insured.
Treat yourself to luxury with the all-new 2025 Buick Envision at Papik Motors. Enjoy an ultra-quiet ride, the largest display screen in its class, and advanced safety and driver assistance technologies. With intelligent all-wheel drive, a refined suspension, and impressive 28 miles to the gallon on the highway, every journey feels like a special occasion. And right now, over 30 models are available, each priced $3,000 below MSRP. View their over 300